I look amazing. I look amazing.
Good evening. Good morning, depending on when you're watching this. Welcome back to Hoops HD. This is our September podcast, our final off-season podcast. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by our full Hoops HD panel tonight, coming to you Hollywood Square style here. I'm up here in the top center. Off to one side here, we have David Griggs with a new couch, or not even a couch anymore. A little new digs there, David?
Well, yeah. The repo man came and took my couch. Something about how I owed them money. I don't understand. Hey, Rent-A-Center, screw them. Just, if you don't pay them, they come take your stuff.
Also off to the other side of top here is Matt Zukowski. Down in the center square, right below me, Joby Fortsum got off to his sides, to both John Titel and John Salica. And then down in the bottom there with the million-dollar microphone, Kyle Lamb. Kyle, you got some major equipment down there.
Yeah, as you can see, I'm sporting a nice professional piece of equipment on an unprofessional show that includes a puppet. So I bring balance to the force.
He's giving us a little bit of class here. He's making the rest of us look bad.
Yes.
But we do have a few things we want to get to tonight. We have one major topic that we're going to get to about transfers in a bit. But we kind of want to kind of start the show off tonight by this mentioning that this is our final off-season podcast, which means that we are going to be moving into, come sometime in middle to late October, all of our preseason podcasts. And we want to just start by kind of reintroducing the site and going over what's going to be coming up in the next 6 weeks or so until the season starts. And on that note, if I can pull this off here, which I don't know if I can or not.
Good job, Chad.
I'm going to try to pull up on the screen. There it is. That is our website, hoopshd.com, a new redesign this year that we just put in a few months ago for not exactly voluntarily, but we did do it. If you see here already, John T., let me bring you in here. You've been already posting some great interviews. You just had one today with Marquette guard Andrew Rousey, correct?
Yeah, super nice guy. He's had quite a story. He started out in the Big South and was Conference Rookie of the Year and then transferred to Marquette, became Big East Sixth Man of the Year, and he's the only senior in the roster. He has to be the leader this year for Wojo, and he admitted to me, he's like, you know, like, I've never really been a leader, so it's new to me, but I'm going to give it a shot. Like, it's a nice honesty instead of the cliches that I get from most seasoned, grizzled veterans.
Yeah, well, none of us really care about Marquette hoops, right, Matt? Matt being our Marquette guy on the panel here, but let me just go back up here, run a few other things here. There is a bracketology tab here. It is pretty much blank at the moment, but that's where John T. and some of the rest of our panel will be posting our previews. And David, you start posting them, I believe, as of the first day of the season, correct?
There's 18 weeks to the regular season. I post one a week, well, at least at the beginning, but yeah. And it's done based on merit, not based on prediction. Some people might think that's weird. Some people might think that's impractical, but I think it's kind of interesting. And, you know, if, like what we saw last year, if, whoever it was if Yale goes out and wins a game on the road, they're going to be on the one line over someone that wins just a bunch of money.
I'm very disappointed in you, Puppet. How could you possibly forget Wagner for what he did on opening night?
Yeah, so last year on the one line, if you go back and look at this, the one seeds were Wagner, Yale, and two other teams, I forget.
Right. So in other words, an early season bracket that is completely meaningless, but David does them anyhow.
Yes. Well, it's not without meaning. I mean, that's how it means a lot.
Well, we also have
Wagner. Who else ever had Wagner as one seed?
Joby, you are going to be posting sometime during the season. I don't think you start right the first week, but by the time we get to around December or January, your nitty-gritty rankings on our website as well.
And I'm going to have to do some adjustments given that the official nitty-gritty sheet has undergone changes thanks to the big microphone at the bottom. I'm going to have to make a adjustment, and it's because I purposely try to mimic how the committee is going to act on it. And so I take the human nature elements of when someone looks at it, for lack of a better word, a sheet of paper and break down in those capacities. Yes, 25 is dramatically different than 26. 50 is dramatically different than 51, particularly for opponents in that particular case. And I'll put them out. I like to have enough data points. I don't need Wagner and Yale on the one line, but if I did it at the same time David did, I think they would be my one and two as well. So
We also have a tab here for 2017-2018 season previews, where you can find direct links to every one of Tytel's interviews that he's posted so far. You also will eventually be able to find links here to the conference previews that I will begin posting probably around the first week of October. I will be doing one for every single conference. And
that would be next week. By the way.
Yeah, next week. I better get busy. I better figure out who's on what team. But yeah. I'll be getting those up. And anyone that wants to comment or respond, obviously, is free to tweet at us or tweet at me at @CSherwood_1973, @HoopsHD. We can we take criticism. We don't. David doesn't, but the rest of us will take a little criticism.
Well, I would take it if it were ever warranted. But since I'm never wrong, why should I take it?
I'm not going to go through every single tab here, but just one other I want to print out here is the point out here on the second line in top very first one in season tournaments in Stalika. This is where every single one of these early season bracketed events is going to be found. The TV schedule, the matchups. I know you're going to be watching every single one of them, though. Right?
We'll be watching a number of them, and also pay attention to the screen here because we have the Puerto Rico tip off, and I think it's the Paradise Jam that's also going to be relocating this year because of hurricane damage in the Caribbean and the surrounding areas this year.
Yeah, that was announced that the Puerto Rico tip-off, which was relocated last year as well because I think it was a Zika virus concern.
It was.
And now this year will be relocated with the devastation from the hurricanes down there. But let's go ahead and pull the screen down here. There's a lot of other tabs. You can check out any of them as well. And we'll talk about more of them as the season goes along, including our survival board. But let's go ahead and pull that down. And David, we have some other things. The other preseason thing that's going to be coming up is our preseason podcast, correct?
Yeah, we are. I forget, but I think we do. Yeah, we do one for each of the Power Five conferences. One where I think we combine the other four. Is that right? A10,
three or four. Yeah.
Yeah, the Missouri Valley. And then we have our Under the Radar podcast, and that translates into our shows during the regular season. So, again, we're having five, one each for the Power Five conferences, one where I think we're going to encompass the A10, the Mountain West, the West Coast, and the American. And then one where we cover all of the rest of the Under the Radar conferences. And that, so we got seven podcasts coming that way. We're also going to have a Bracketology preseason podcast like we always do, where Chad posts his preseason picks, and most of them will be wrong, but we're going to do it anyway.
But they will be better than David's first week picks, I'll tell you that much.
No, they won't be. I'm just going straight off the merit. And that kind of leads into our regular shows. Once we get during the season, we have at least two, if not three, shows for you during the week. One is the Hoops HD Report, where we cover essentially the multi-bid leagues and everyone else that's in the conference. One, beginning about late December, early January, is the Bracketology podcast. We have various forms in which we reveal our bracket. And the other one of my favorites, is the Under the Radar podcast, where we discuss the traditional one-bid leagues. Chad and I and Stalika usually get together and do that. And we're adding some new shows. I got a new show coming up.
Your new show was vetoed. What? However,
no,
Kyle,
no,
with his $1 million microphone, you've got a new show coming up for our website coming up this year, correct?
Yes, I'm going to be hosting a.
Why the hell does he get a show? Just because he has a microphone the size of his head?
A microphone bigger than you, actually.
What?
A microphone bigger than you.
I've muted David for you. Go ahead, Kyle.
Okay, I appreciate that. Yes, we're going to have a weekly, probably Sunday, I'm guessing Sunday evening podcast. So we're going to be talking general college basketball, talking top 25, some of the best teams in the country. Probably be more of a focus about general college basketball news, but we'll have a rotating panel on that. Of course, John and John will join me occasionally, Joby, Matt, and we'll probably bring our buddy Scott Schwartz in occasionally as well. So we'll have a nice little broad panel to talk college basketball, and it probably won't usually include David Griggs. That's the best part.
I'm actually really looking forward to that because David, but
I'd like to preview my show now if I could. It will be each week the David Griggs awesomeness hour. Each and every week. There it is. And in the first week, we have an excellent like itinerary for you. We're going to be discussing myself, Tim Miles, and the Border War.
Is that any different than every other week?
No. Well, I don't know. We'll see how the season shapes out. But if those two things continue to dominate the college basketball landscape, then yes.
Good grief. You know, Tim Miles just got his AD fired, right?
Well, I mean, again, I was hoping that the fact that he had hired Tim Miles would be his saving grace. But if Tim Miles becomes the AD, Nebraska will win the national title this year in football. It will be an amazing feat.
That would be amazing. But let's go ahead and turn to our major topic for the night now. And that is, there has been a lot of talk recently about a potential change to the transfer rule. As it stands,
I still don't understand why Kyle gets a show. Who's going to listen to it?
How do we mute that puppet again? Once again, David, our major topic for the night is the transfer rule. The way the rule has worked for years now has been that if you want to transfer schools, that's fine. You can do that, but you need to sit out a season, a redshirt season, before you can begin playing. There have been some exceptions. If you had to move to another school for family reasons, there have been some exceptions as well. There is an exception for people that have already graduated before using up their eligibility and are transferring to a school that does not offer a grad program that they want to enroll in, which means, in other words, you find a grad program and you enroll in it. But there's now talk about just nixing the redshirt season entirely and just saying, hey, if you transfer, that's it. You can go ahead and play the very next season. And Joby, I'd like to start with you on this because I think you had some pretty strong thoughts on it. What would you think about those rules changing for that?
Yeah, I'm part of the crotchety group, to be very blunt. Though not completely. I still am a believer in the one-year wait because I think, yes, the wild, wild west will occur. We see already what's happened in AAU ball. I don't like it. Sorry, some people are fine with it. I don't like it. One, though, condition that I think they desperately need to change, let me go with one component, is that a coach or a school should not be able to block and assign what schools you can transfer to not sit out 2 years. I think that is remarkably ridiculous. If someone wants to transfer, if a kid wants to go from Duke, North Carolina, they should be able to go to Duke, North Carolina, just as they would to go to Duke, to Marquette, or wherever else. It shouldn't have to, you know, there shouldn't be conditions based on your destination, except for the present ones. We could argue, once again, whether you're going to D2 or D3, NAIA, et cetera. But, yes, I do feel that the sport is at risk. I think it could be a very bad situation where you're getting boosters involved. It's a re-recruitment again. When you have that year delay, you don't have those same factors entering. Because you don't get the instant gratification. And, yeah, I know that it's not the popular position. It's not the progressive, opinion on it. But ultimately, college basketball has an adjective in front of it. College. We can laugh about it and all that stuff. But, yes, most of these kids are never going to sniff the NBA. A lot of them might sniff other professional leagues. But that degree component is important, and flying around from school to school to school to school and never getting your degree, for most kids, it is a 4-year process. I truly believe we should try to retain that the best we can. I know that others have very strong opinions otherwise. I'm certainly respectful of them.
Well, Kyle, I think you disagree with Joby. Is that true?
I think that's accurate, Chad. Joby made a great point. It is college. You know what else you can do in college? You can transfer. If you're a music student, you can go play music at your school of choice the very next year. You don't have to sit in residence to wait to play. The fact is, college basketball and college football at the Division I levels are the only – well, baseball as well. They're the only sports that have this year in residence.
Hockey.
The only sports that have the – wait, hockey too. Yeah, I'm sorry. But basically, out of 40 varsity sports, you have 4 sports that have a year in residence waiting requirement, and it's only at the Division I level. The fact is, every other sport at every other level does not have this. You can go transfer without sitting out. And the fact is, despite the year in residence rule, basketball still has a higher transfer rate than almost any other sport. I think men's tennis is the only one that's higher. So the fact is, like, sitting out a year isn't stopping people from transferring anyway. So I say let them transfer if they want. Let them play right away. Don't let the coaches stop these guys from going where they want. Let them, you know, let them go where they want. It's, you know, I say I'm the opposite of the get off my lawn crowd. I'm the come on to my lawn. Go ahead and party whenever you want.
Well, Jim Boeheim does not agree with you. Dick Vitale does not agree with you. He says it'll cause chaos on Twitter.
Quit undermining my argument.
Sorry, Joby, but Matt, let me bring you in on this. What are your thoughts on the issue here?
I'm probably in between the two of that. Like, I think in general, I don't want to get rid of the one-year rule. However, I will put a big exception in. If your coach leaves, you should be free. Recruits, players, whatever, you should be free. So that.
Well, wait a second, Matt. Are you saying that when you go to school, you are signing up with the coach and not with the school?
And living in the real world, yes. And that you might have the make believe of, oh, I'm playing for the school, and that, like, 95% of these kids are signing for the coach. In that case, that's worth it for you. Like, if the coach is still there, I don't have a huge issue with having this wait a year in that.
Well, you know, I mean, I understand parts of the argument, Matt, but I personally don't really agree that it should be about whether your coach leaves or not, because I think you are, when you're recruited, you're joining the school. You're not joining the coach. I mean, otherwise, why even have colleges? Why not just have a bunch of coaches running around coaching a bunch of kids that are out of high school? But Sleeka, what are your thoughts on that? Do you agree with me? Do you agree with Matt?
I would also be somewhere in the middle where I think it could be somewhat palatable if you are to, what is it, reduce some of the transfer restrictions. But I think at the same time, one of the other things that people fear a lot is, are other schools tampering behind the scenes? So let's say if you're responsible for driving someone out of school A to go to school B and you wind up getting caught, you probably should have some head coaching penalties or possibly other penalties that would be similar to one-year postseason bans.
Well, we saw a major tampering allegations with David Collette from Utah State to Utah a couple years ago. Tytel, can I bring your thoughts in here? Does this getting rid of the 1 year, doesn't that encourage a lot more tampering?
I think it does, and I don't think any of us are a fan of that, so if there's a way to nip that in the bud, that'd be great. I actually agree with Matt in terms of the coaching thing. When I interviewed the guys in the preseason, more than a handful of them have said, because a lot of them have transferred and gone on to success at the other places, like, yeah, my coach got fired, and they wanted to get out of there, and some of them are willing to wait a year redshirting just to do so. So while I understand that in a perfect world, the kid is picking the school, I think in the real world, like Matt said, like, they really are going with the coach, and that's very important to them. Additionally, I think if we get rid of the wait time, that, I mean, is there a limit as to how many? Do they get to pick a different school every year? And is it going to be something where, like, if they have a bad season and they're stuck on the bench behind starters at their first school, they stick around and then the coach leaves and brings some other guys and then they can score 15 a game as a starter? They're like, oh, now I can go to a D1 school. It just seems like there would be dominoes going everywhere and people switching, and I want a little more consistency and harmony in my college basketball.
Hey, John, could I answer? My understanding is the proposal as it is in the committee right now is that it would just be the first-time transfer exception. Like, if you transferred a second time, you'd still have to sit out a year.
I feel better about that, Ben.
All right, that's a little better. So we can't have somebody play the fall semester for one school and the spring semester for the other school. That's because that's the next step, David, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I disagree with all of you.
Okay.
So, just so you know, again, we got into it's men's and women's basketball, hockey, and FBS football are the only divisions out of, as Kyle pointed out, that have the 1 year. In residency rule. It's actually a year in residency rule. It's not a you have to sit out rule, although that's practically what it is. And the stated reason for it is because those four sports at those four levels have a history of being poor academic performance. So the thinking is if you go to a new school, it gives you a year to get assimilated. And I actually like that logic. What I don't like is forcing a kid to do a year in residency that has a 3.8 GPA. That's preposterous, regardless of what sport you play. If you have a 3.8 for a men's basketball player or a baseball player, in my opinion, is the same as a 3.8 in any other sport. So why don't we just change the rule across the board? Anybody that's a 2.6, and if you're wondering where I'm getting that number from, that's factored into the APR. If someone transfers out with a 2.6, it doesn't ding you for retention. So anyone with a 2.6 is, in my opinion, does not need a year to assimilate, so don't make them sit out. Anyone below that, regardless of the sport, basketball, football, softball, women's soccer, or whatever, has to do a year in residency. And the year in residency, in my opinion, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't change the simple fact that by the time your clock starts as a first-time, full-time freshman, you have 5 years, 10 terms to play 4 seasons. This rule doesn't change that. Whether you make them sit out or not, they're still getting to play 4 seasons. So everyone that's losing their minds, I think, whether you like the rule or not, it's not as if you're getting to play an additional year. It's just that you're not having to take a break before you can play again. I don't think it's going to change anything really either way because, again, being in the real world, out of all the basketball players that transfer, 59% of them don't even go to another Division I school. They go to D2, D3, NAIA, or whatever, so this rule doesn't affect them anyway. Of the 40% that do go to another school, how many of them are actually above a 2.6? Like, what is the number that actually transfer laterally or up with a 2.6 and on top of that, obtain permission to contact, are given a release, and then transfer? I just think the number is much, much smaller than the doomsdayers are going to think that it's going to be.
Well, it may be smaller now, but the thing is, David, isn't it true that you're going to be encouraging a lot more of the transfers now without the 1 year? Isn't there a percentage of people that aren't going to transfer out because they just don't want to sit out a year?
Perhaps, but those people, like, say you're at the mid-major and under-the-radar school, and I think part of that is – part of the reason Chad's against this is you're worried about losing your stars to the bigger programs.
Exactly.
Well, just don't release them to the bigger programs. You still need a release. Without the release, you have to sit a year anyway.
Hey, Chad, well, for what it's
worth, I actually have a problem with the release.
Joey's just all over the place.
Let me keep a little semblance of order here.
Bureaucrats and a coach should prevent a kid from going to a new college to learn and be educated. I don't think that that is right. But, and this is the big but, we open Pandora's box with the bad effects of college, of basketball at the amateur, in the amateur world. There will be tampering. There will be blown recruitment. There will be so much money flying around. It will be ridiculous, and it will destroy the sport. I am not kidding. And by the way, the academic thing, I think that's actually a good argument, except for the fact, would that mean if Butler doesn't want to see their player transfer to North Carolina, they get a professor to flunk them?
Potentially, or just don't release them to North Carolina.
Well, now, Joby, if you're transferring Carolina, you're guaranteed to be over 2.6 because you don't even go to your classes.
Exactly.
But Kyle, I know you had a comment. Let me swing it over to you.
Yeah, I was like, we were talking about, or you guys were talking earlier about how many people would transfer. For what it's worth, the graduate transfer rate is right around 24-25%. And those graduate transfers, since they implemented it, it's around just under 25% of eligible graduate transfers transferring. So that's probably what we're looking at for a transfer rate, which right now is about 15-16%. So I don't think it's going to go up that much. I mean, about 1/4 of graduate transfers are transferring. That's probably a good number to estimate what we would see if this rule goes through.
Well, Tytel, let me go back to the point that Joby actually brought up, and that's this whole thing of permission. Right now, the rule is that you basically have to be released by the school you're going to, and maybe you're released to the specific school that you want to transfer to, or you can't even move right now. And what he's saying
is stricter than that.
Even stricter than that. And I kind of agree with Joby here that I am not in favor of the one having just of getting rid of the 1 year sit out, but I am in favor of saying, hey, why should the coaches control who you talk to and where you go to? What are your thoughts on that question?
It's a great question. I don't think the coaches should have that power because it's unfair on some level and it's mean on some base level Like, if you're not getting along with the kid, or if he's not playing well for you, or whatever, let him, give him a chance to go be somewhere else, because that's what he wants. And why should he be forced to stick it out in an atmosphere that's not helpful for his well-being, perhaps either on or off the court? I understand if you don't want him, like, going from Utah to Utah State or vice versa and stealing your playbook and giving it to your arch rival. Like, that's a strategic, fair consideration. But it just seems like a very harsh thing. And I can't imagine from the player's perspective, like I said, like, these kids really pick a school based on the coach. And to pick that school and then have Bo Ryan or whoever say that I will let you leave, but not to any of these schools that I'm telling you where you can and can't go, it seems really weird and messed up to me, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, they could turn around and say, hey, the only school you can go to is Chicago State, where you could become their 85th enrollee of the year overall for the entire school. But
yeah, they could. And if you are not released to a school, just – I know everybody on the panel knows this, but maybe some people watching, listening don't. The rule is you can go wherever you want, but instead of just having to sit out a year and do the year in residency, you are not allowed to receive any athletic aid. Now, you can receive academic aid, but you have to legitimately qualify for it. And that really does limit your options. Say, and that's how in sports without the year in residency rule, that's kind of how they keep a lid on it. They just simply, if players want to transfer, they just simply will not allow them to go to the schools that they don't want them to go to.
Yeah, I think wherever you're sitting on the fence on this, I think we all agree. You may agree with the one-year rule, you may not, but nobody thinks that coaches should be dictating whether a player gets, you know, financial aid when they go to their next school. That shouldn't be up to the coach.
Well, Sleek, I think you had a comment on it.
Yeah, I was also going to go back to the graduate transfer topic, because I think, as we've noted before, once you graduate within 4 years, you can transfer without sitting out for another year. But one of the caveats has always been the school that you're going to has to have a major that your old school did not. And I brought up a similar example last year. Let's say someone transfers from Nebraska because they don't have a forestry program and they decide to go to
completely moronic. Why would you want
to say Syracuse instead? Do we still want to leave a rule like that in place, or should we just do away with the requirement that there has to be a major at school at B that isn't involved in school A?
Well, I guess, like, my one comment would be that if we get rid of the one-year sit-out, that kind of becomes a moot point anyhow. But, Matt, what are your thoughts if we do keep the one-year redshirt rule in place? Should we loosen up the graduate transfer rules there so that we don't have people, you know, we don't have the school going and creating some graduate program just to, you know, urban forestry just to get somebody from Nebraska to Syracuse?
Yeah, no, I think if the kids graduated, let him – he graduates in under 4 years or less and then still has a year of eligibility. Let him go where he wants. Don't put any restrictions on it. And then let him play. Like, I would say for releasing restrictions, there shouldn't be restrictions, except for I'll hear an argument in your conference just because your conference knows where you're going and that. For this is for undergrads. And then if you think tampering is there, say, okay, you're not going here, but then you have to show proof of tampering. And then you need to make the case. Now, if you make that case, then hey, like, I think a certain school in Columbia, Missouri right now might be having their hands in it, right? But
yeah, ooh, and wow, fired. Did that pay off? Ooh. Oh, man.
David, what is the solution? Is there a way that we can monitor this tampering and keep Joby's concerns of this at bay?
I mean, no more than what it's monitored now. And essentially, the way it's monitored now, if you think they're being – if it has all to do with the release and the permission to contact. If you think someone's tampering, you just don't grant permission to contact. And if a student wants to transfer, you block them from going to that school and being able to play right away and being able to receive aid. That's kind of just how it's self-policing now.
Safe policing good enough, though, because, I mean, if we're going to open up the door to make it a lot more attractive to transfer because you don't have to sit out a year.
Well, if they get rid of that, I mean, if they get rid of, there's no proposal on the table that I know of that's going to get rid of needing a release or permission to contact. That's just not going away.
Well, let me ask you, what do you think is going to happen? Joby, where do you think this is all going? Do you think we're getting rid of the 1 year?
No, I think there'll be pushback at the end of the day. there'll be concerns. There'll be a study, and maybe eventually, but not next year. I think it's years away, even with the present discussion. There's too many people in D1 who fear the worst as opposed to are pushing for this. I think the old silent majority, language you hear in the political world sometimes tossed around, I think that's what's going to pop up here.
Ty, you agree with him? You think that we're just having an academic discussion here and that's it?
I would never accuse this show of having anything academic. but yes, I think that the one-year rule will stay.
Okay. Game, set, match to Tytel.
Sorry, Matt, you had another comment? Or
I was just going to clarify this. Even what we're discussing now, I think that's not for till the 2020-2021 season. So this is for down the road. This isn't going to be for next year's implementation.
I'm going to also agree that it's not going to be in play for next year. This is still – it's still very early in the process. It hasn't even gone through the presidents or the council yet. So it's still at least a couple years away. It is going to go through. It is going to happen because a lot of these people are very tired of the bad press coming from guys like Jay Billis, and they're getting hammered in the media right now over this. So it will happen, but it's still probably going to take a couple years to get through the system.
I don't know that we can argue with a man with a microphone that big. So
right.
Kyle may have the right answer, David.
I don't know. I think that there are some on the Div1 board of directors that are apprehensive about it, but the majority are for it. And I'm, again, kind of disagreeing with everyone here. I think as soon as it's proposed, it goes through on the first one. I wouldn't be surprised to see it effective as of August 1st, 2018.
All right. Well, I guess on that note, let me run through each of you if there's any other topics you want to bring up or any other final thoughts you have for the evening. And let me start right back there on the bottom with Kyle. And
well, first, I can assure you that with my big microphone, I'm not overcompensating for anything.
Too much information.
It'll be interesting to see if this goes through. I want to say one thing, as far as this is something I kind of wanted to touch on in the Lost podcast that I had with John and John and Matt. But one thought that I just annoying me, where is all the love for this USC team coming into the preseason? I'm sorry. I'm just not seeing it. They return a lot of guys. They were very inconsistent last year. I'm seeing way too much hype for USC Trojans. I think they're going to be a good team this year. But everybody's talking about them as a national title contender, not seeing it. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I disagree with you. We're going to get to that when we get to our Pac-12 preview. I'd love to have you on it. But Tytel, let me go to you next because we talked a little Pac-12. But I disagree with Kyle. I think this USC team is going to be really good this year. But
I also disagree that he's not compensating or overcompensating.
John T.
How would you know, David?
Well, I've... Anyway, you had a question for who did you have a question for?
I was throwing it over to Tytel, but
you had a question for Tytel. Okay, let's get to that.
Keep throwing it. So, spoiler: I'm going to try to interview Benny Boatwright and assistant coach Jason Hart at USC. So we'll see what they have to say about it. As far as the final thought, I want to give a shout out to Gino Auriemma. A lot of high-paid coaches do things their way, and I don't always agree with them. Gino made news last week by deciding to forego his $2 million a year salary if necessary because the state of Connecticut is still without a state budget, even though we're well into the fiscal year and the governor said he's going to veto a budget that he gets. There was a lot of criticism of high salaries, and Gino came out and said, look, if it's going to help, I'll give you my $2 million salary. Doesn't have to do it. Obviously doesn't need the money because he's making that much and has made it for a long time. But props to Coach Auriemma for agreeing to give up $2 million a year just to help his state out.
I've got to agree with you there. Joby, let me head over to you next. We're in the center square.
We focused the majority of the show on the transfer issue. There's another related issue that will never change, but I really wish would happen. And that's the at-will scholarship issue. I'm very much, whereas I do believe strongly that we should wait a year before a kid can transfer. By the same token, I find it on the other side extremely appalling when kids are basically have their scholarships basically yanked after a year, not for bad behavior and that sort of clauses, but because they just maybe not aren't as good enough as the coach thought, or they got recruited over, or just personality conflicts. I truly believe that we should be protecting some of these kids, because once again, it's college basketball, and not all these kids, a lot of them do, but not all these kids are choosing D1 programs in order to go to the NBA. A lot of them are trying to get an education. And if we really want to put our actions speak louder than words, then we should be protecting the kids who want to stay in school, try to work hard, and keep that scholarship, as opposed to, oh, you don't have your scholarship anymore. Oh, you can't afford us. Well, okay. Well, have fun with life.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more there, Joby. If you are given a scholarship, that should be a 4-year commitment. That should only be ending if you walk off the team. No, you lose your scholarship. If it's bad behavior, you get arrested for drunk driving or running somebody over in your car, which we've seen before. Lose your scholarship then. But it should not be just because, hey, the coach doesn't think you're playing as well as he thought you could play coming out of high school. I think that's ridiculous. Sleek, let me head over to you next.
I'm pretty sure there was one feature earlier that Chad overlooked as far as the website that we're probably going to be saying goodbye to, and that is the message board right here.
Yeah, that's not even available on our website anymore, Stalika. I don't know where you've found that. So.
Yes. Oh, the message board's gone?
Yeah, it's gone.
I would also highlight this part that says not secure, so maybe that's why.
Is that even in English, or is that like...
Yeah, I can't even read it. Perhaps, but if you do want to contact us, Twitter's the best way to go. Yeah, you just have to scroll past the Donald Trump tweets, and you can get to ours, and send us a tweet. We'll be happy to respond to you, probably around 2 o'clock in the morning, just like he does.
And it may come back someday.
Matt, let me get over to you.
Well, I'd say tonight's podcast is about transfers, and we've had a couple of notable ones already. First, Jared Ritter of Xavier freshman's leaving to go to Missouri State. Not a big blow this year because you already had J.P. McCura and Trayvon Blewett to space the floor. But a year from now, that may hurt because the rest of their freshman class are more slashers, guys are going to score at the rim. The one that I think is going to hurt this year is Kadeem Sy leaving Virginia Tech. That leaves them with Kerry Blackshear and nothing else on the interior. So if that kid gets 2 or 3 fouls early in the game, or if his injury last year flares up again, Buzz will be again playing the 6-6 and under ball, and that – it worked for him some of the Big East. I think it's going to be a little tougher to pull off of the ACC.
Well, I actually want to, before David, I throw it to you, I actually want to bring one more topic up here, my final thought, I guess. And I want to bring back up the screen share one more time. I want to share with everybody an email that I received in my law practice just this past week.
Oh, yeah.
I received a potential client inquiry that I thought maybe the whole panel could help me out with here. Just so if you can't read it on the screen, I'll read it very quickly. It says, I went to the bar last night to watch college basketball and ordered a bunch of drinks. They said there weren't any college basketball games on because it was September, which was a very snide and rude comment. They then insisted I pay for the drinks anyway because I had already drank them, which I had, but I shouldn't have had to because they wouldn't put college basketball on. They called the police again and made this whole big deal out of it again. Now they're demanding that I pay even more money than the drinks would have actually cost. Where is the justice? I unfortunately was not able to help this person, though, David.
It sounds like that puppet or person, whoever, it really got screwed over.
It really does. But no, unfortunately, to that person who
did
it, I think you can see his name on the screen there up top. I cannot help you. You're going to have to find an attorney that actually cares.
What? What is that supposed to mean?
David, any final thoughts for that?
It's hard to believe. We see countdowns going on, and some are under the impression that the season begins Saturday, which I guess that's the first 42 John days Rothstein. Before the first game. John Rothstein. Basically equates the end of conditioning to the beginning of the season. Practice does start Saturday, though, so we are getting kind of closer. And I, for one, am looking forward to this season because of some of the rivalries that are coming back. West Virginia Pitt, it's back this year. BYU Utah, after a short hiatus, is back. There's some very notable ones that are not back, Texas A&M, Kansas, Missouri. But I think it just goes to show you that once these rivalries are great because your passion for your own team is matched by the hatred for the other. And there's just nothing else like it. And I think once we've been away from some of the bigger ones for a while, both of them kind of miss it. So, again, I'm just kind of glad that we're starting to see some of these rivalries start to respawn a little bit.
Can I add a second final thought?
Sure.
I was listening to Griggs' answer on the transfers earlier, and it occurred to me that Griggs has definitely been using his time spent in jail for disorderly conduct very well. He's been prepping for the show. I'm impressed with that. Yes.
My fault.
Well, I guess on that note, just one little more final note here. We do have some big breaking news today that the season's going to start an hour and a half earlier than it had been scheduled to. Eastern Michigan will tap off their first game at 10:30 a.m.
Yes, have we adjusted the clock, Chad?
We will be adjusting the clock, so we are an hour and a half closer to the start of college basketball season than we were just very recently. But on that note, I guess on behalf of our tile panel here, I want to thank everyone for joining us. I'm Chad Sherwood again, and we will be back again in October with our start of our preseason podcasts.